Kip Cartwright. A search and rescue operation is underway off Queensland's coast for three Marines who are still missing after a US military aircraft crashed into the sea. 26 personnel were on board when it crashed around 4 p.m. yesterday off the central Queensland coast at Shoalwater Bay. It had taken off from the USS Bonhomme Richard and was on regularly scheduled operations when it hit the water in a mishap, a statement from the US military says. However, military analyst Mike Lyons told Macquarie Radio there is nothing regular about the situation.
These are the kind of accidents that show that the Navy in particular is doing dangerous business. There's nothing routine about preparing for war. Hopefully we can find the three other service members and they can be rescued, or else this will turn into a recover operation.
Tighter security checks could be introduced for Australian domestic flights following an alleged terror plot to bomb a plane. Senior ministers are believed to be preparing to take to Cabinet a proposal to introduce identity checks, full-body scanners and restrictions on liquids similar to security measures for international flights. Two Sydney men have been charged over the alleged plot to bring down an Abu Dhabi-bound plane on July 15 using an improvised explosive device. Transport Minister Darren Chester said Australia's aviation system was world-class and its safety and security remained the government's highest priority. A Muslim community centre in the US city of Minneapolis has exploded and authorities are trying to determine if the cause is suspicious. Police Chief Jeff Potts.
At this point, you know, it's active investigation and we're not really willing to get into the details of specifics, but it's just one explosion. The first responders were able to determine that there's no additional explosions, there's no additional fire, and it seems as though that the damage is pretty limited to one particular room.
New polling figures have highlighted some of the key issues confronting Liberal MPs as they prepare to debate on same-sex marriage laws. The Liberals will hold a special party room meeting in Canberra tomorrow to try and decide whether to hold a plebiscite, postal or parliamentary vote before changing marriage laws. Polling just released shows a majority of voters in six seats held by Liberal MPs whose positions on marriage equality are undeclared support same-sex marriage and a free vote in Parliament. However, Liberal voters in each electorate were significantly less inclined to believe same-sex couples should be able to wed or that the government should resolve the issue through a free parliamentary vote. Childcare has become one of the biggest, if not the biggest, drain on the family purse. The high cost of childcare is eating substantially into the average pay packet and putting many families under financial stress. Latest figures suggest 40% of families are paying as much as or more than their mortgage. Almost a third are paying double their grocery spend for childcare after the government rebate, while a fifth are paying triple their weekly grocery spend. For those on lower incomes, this means they are taking home next to no money, making it extremely difficult for many women with children to work. Also in place, Sydney Lord Mayor Clover Moore said the tent city in Sydney's Martin Place won't be dismantled until she's assured there's a long-term housing solution for the residents. This is AIR News. Brodie Grundy laid the perfect tackle, was awarded a free kick and will likely be suspended for it. That's the odd reality facing the AFL's Collingwood ruckman after North Melbourne's Ben Brown was concussed in the second quarter of the Pies' 16-15-111 to 7-15-57 win last night. Brown was sent to hospital for observation after his head hit the Etihad Stadium turf in a tackle that will draw comparisons to the one that led Geelong superstar Patrick Dangerfield to being suspended. It was a perfect tackle. I don't think there was any malice, Pies coach Nathan Buckley says. He was tackling to dispossess, tackling to get the free kick the way that the rules are written. The Festival of British Eventing is underway and Australian rider Bill Levitt has completed dressage in the British Open Championship to be second overall with a score of 39.2 on board Shannondale Titan. He gave credit to his horse's performance.
You know, I felt he was, I'd got the setup right because he's a big horse and he gets a bit weak if you give him too much, but then, you know, it's that classic thing, if you give him not enough then he can be a bit inattentive. So yeah, it's I think we've got a real good system these last couple of times, and he gave me, you know, nice work.
Another Australian rider, Shane Rose, is in eighth after his score of 42.7 on board CP qualified. Newcastle have given themselves a glimmer of hope as they aim to dodge a third consecutive NRL wooden spoon by downing the Warriors 26-10. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather area, sunny, winds north to northwesterly, 25 to 35 kilometres an hour. It's sunny today, David.
It
22
is.
22 degrees. Not yet, obviously. A possible chance of rainfall is absolutely zero. Now, tell me what the current temperature is in Moorebank, and then tell me what the weather's going to be like at Muswellbrook today, please?
Moorebank at the moment, 10 degrees at Moorebank. Mm-hmm. Getting to a top of 20 later today, sunny and fine. And Muswellbrook, 6 degrees at the moment, getting to a top of 19 a little bit later on.
It's the culmination of thrilling racing at the top end. Monday's Darwin Cup.
Royal Request goes to the lead. It's soft. There's your favourite for the cup.
Greg Radley and Ron Duffersey have it covered. Catch it all on Monday. Here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
If you're getting the latest big screen 4K TV, what's the most important thing?
Choose from the top brands. There's a huge range at Bing Lee.
What's the second most important?
Choose the right one for you. Talk to our TV experts at Bing Lee.
And what's the third most important?
Get it installed correctly.
And right now, get a free wall mount installation and delivery when you buy a Samsung, LG, Sony, Panasonic or Hisense 4K Ultra High Def TV 55 inches and over at Bing Lee.
So go to the home of TV, Bing Lee.
It's international racing at its best.
Pakistan Star beating up the ground. Rapid Dragon in front from Pakistan Star. The puzzle now complete. Rapid Dragon takes the derby from Pakistan Star.
Love Asian racing? We've got you covered with the best action from Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore and Korea across the Sky Racing Network.
Here's Sweet 16 for Winx.
It's a Winx split.
She's a champion. She's a Winx.
Winx is coming. Be at Royal Randwick Saturday, August 19 at Might and Power Race Day.
To see Winx's highly anticipated return.
See the world's best turf horse live as she chases her 18th consecutive win. The day will see the whole family entertained as Royal Randwick hosts free kids activities, including a Peppa Pig stage show, a jumping castle, face painting, a petting zoo, and much more. For more information, visit the ATC.com.au.
Milos Ninkovic now has the chance to win the title for Sydney FC from 11 metres. The Johnny Warren medalist, the best player in the league this season. If this goes in, it's Sydney's crown. Ninkovic scores! Dreams have come true in Sky Blue!
Looking at Lee, wanders off the rail, now with three lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But always dreaming is digging down, and always dreaming is holding on. Looking at Lee, can't catch always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Across the ground, look at Dugan fly high and bring the ball down.
Johnson away to Jules Barsacek.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. It's on again, ladies and gentlemen, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. It's another day in the chair for Davey Stanley. I tell you what, based on his performance last week, there were tongues wagging here at Sky Sports Radio headquarters.
I hope they were wagging for good reasons.
Some of them.
Okay.
Big show today. Actually, dare I say it, it's massive.
It is.
It's massive because, yeah, sure, we've got Chrissy Lees on after the performance of Invincible Gem yesterday. So he gets the Quinella in the big race in the Missile Stakes. Corey Brown was on board, so we'll have a chat with Corey Brown as well. Zorba will give us his thoughts on all the latest in the world of rugby league. Phil Moss from the world of football. We'll have our Z&Z quiz. Score update. And just confirming that anything that you record here today, David, is in the name of Ray Thomas.
Yes.
So, given I had the win last week, it's now 15-14.
To who? To you.
To you and Ray.
Oh, so we're leading.
You're leading.
So this morning we'll be going 16-14.
Potentially.
Right.
Okay. Potentially. Okay. So just to let you know, that's for Z&Z. Big g'day to Al and the team there. Spoke to Al during the week. He's going well. Dean Bulldog Ritchie, he'll give us his thoughts on the world of rugby league as well. We'll have a chat with Trent Lanskow from tab.com.au to give us all the prices around for today. The big one, though, the big guest that we've got coming up this morning, and this is exciting, whichever way you look at it. Paddy Mills, out-and-out star. Absolute champ, NBA player for the San Antonio Spurs, has literally, within the last 48 hours, re-signed a deal with them for 4 years for $50 million USD.
Wow.
And they're suggesting that on the open market, he could have got more than that.
He's been very loyal to San Antonio.
Still not really a starting player. Tony Parker's got the injury, but if Tony Parker is fully fit, then Paddy Mills is a bench player, but a very good bench player. So we're going to have a chat with Paddy. He's in town at the moment, and that is exciting. So we are looking forward to that. He's our legend of the game. He's our legend of the game, and quite rightly so. So stick around for that one. We've had some incredible results in the rugby league. We all know about the Eels and the Bulldogs on Thursday night, but what about Friday night? How on earth did the Dragons give up a 10-point lead?
Can I tell you why?
I don't know how they did it. Rabbitohs 26, Dragons 24.
Can I tell you why?
You can, David.
The boys are listening and they're getting set, obviously, for their video session tomorrow. A certain D. Stanley, a Dragon supporter.
Yes.
After the sort of sluggish start, decided, look, $2.25 was too good for St. George.
In the run,
got involved. Was pretty happy with myself just after half time. And, of course, the D. Stanley mock. So, look, if you're a Dragon supporter, don't worry. I won't be backing them this week. And I'm not going to touch them for the rest of the competition, and they should go pretty well.
Oh, you would have thought so, based on that news. I can't believe that they didn't win. Like, how did they not score? How did Tarek Sims not score? Who? Anyway, they didn't, and that was at the SCG. I think the feature of that was the lack of people at the SCG.
Yeah.
The lack of people at the SCG. Now, blame what you like, but there was a lot of discussion across social media, and Dave, I'll throw your two bob worth in here. Was it the time slot? Was it the ground? Was it the performance of the two teams in the lead up to that? Like, the crowd was sparse, and that's being kind.
I think the timing of the whole match, and I think that Friday 6 o'clock match this year hasn't been a success, in my opinion,
for live viewers.
Well, I mean, it's Friday o'clock, Friday at six. Yes, their argument would be that, well, people are knocking off work, they might be going to the pub or getting home early. It's good for the kids, but I'd rather have an extra Sunday game. I think Sundays are much better if you're trying to attract families to the football, as you would know from being a parent, would Sunday afternoon football be more attractive than Friday, especially if you're in a 9-to-5 job and in Sydney town where getting around, especially that Moore Park area at 6 o'clock,
can be very
traffic,
tough.
It's very difficult.
Well, as one person said on Twitter, Shane, it's witching hour between 6 and 8. He said, I didn't watch a minute of the game. Had it on in the background, but didn't watch a minute of the game because you're feeding, you're bathing, you're putting kids to bed. That's the way it goes. So there's the difficulties associated with that one as well. Sunday afternoon footy, that would mean that you would have games going on at the same time. Now, the AFL do it.
Yep.
The rugby league do not.
Why is that? Is that a fear of...
To maximise viewer?
Yeah.
Because I think that's a lot of people think, well, of these people who are watching, they're all the same people.
Yep.
But are they different people watching?
I pose this question to you, and also the listeners out there, text us and get involved. If they had played the match at either Redfern or Oakey, Jubilee, would they have packed it out at that same time slot?
I think they would have got a better crowd.
Yep.
They wouldn't have played it at Redfern. It would have been at ANZ Stadium. But the SCG, I think people realise now the SCG, it sounds great in theory, you know, to go back to the grand old lady and all that sort of thing. But the view at home is 12 times better.
Yeah.
You're just too far away. We've been spoiled by just watching the way it's presented on television now. And, of course, when you watch it, you know, grounds like Allianz Stadium and grounds like the old Parramatta Stadium, where you're right on top of the action, that it just takes away from. We'll take your thoughts on it. 13:53:53. We've had big news just now. Usain Bolt, in his last individual race, the 100 metres, has run third. Justin Gatlin, to just clarify, who has been banned twice for substance abuse or performance enhancing drugs, has won.
It doesn't sit well with me, as I'm sure it doesn't sit well with a lot of people that have watched it. I've seen on Twitter already a number of high-profile people, high-profile sportsmen, especially English sporting identities, sort of coming online and saying, oh, Bolt don't worry about it, we won't remember, but have you got the phone number for WADA, if possible? Can we get them on the phone? Can
Funnily
we
enough, just, I don't have that on my speed dial, but...
Can we just... It would be a PR disaster for the World Athletics Organization if in the future, the last race that one of your best individuals...
Oh, the greatest ever.
The greatest ever.
Yes.
Is tarnished by a bloke who is not the best ever.
Well, he's been banned previously. He was banned for 8 years. He subsequently had, on appeal, had that downgraded to 4 years, Justin Gatlin. But his first ban was in 2001. So he has beaten Usain Bolt. Christian Coleman came second, Usain Bolt third. So very sluggish out of the blocks and just couldn't make up the ground, Usain Bolt. So it's an end to a career. I don't know. Maybe he says, I don't want to end that way, and goes to the Commonwealth Games in the Gold Coast. I mean, I'm just hoping.
Well,
let's get ahead of ourselves.
It would. I think the Gold Coast would suit Mr. Bolt down to a T.
In what way?
Just in every way. I think the conditions, and I just think getting him strutting at the... Well, look, put it this way. Surely he'd be in the country around that time, even if he's not playing. If you were Peter Beattie, or if I was someone at the Com Games, I'd be saying, look, even if you're not running, mate, please come out, be here for the event.
Yes.
Because he's a draw card on his own.
Oh, totally. Well, someone would pay him something.
Yeah.
Surely Optus said... You know, we were speculating on what his deal was like with Optus, and the free SIM card, the phone, and the EPL package.
That's it.
It's probably a little more than that. But maybe they can just give him something else to get him out here for the Commonwealth Games. I don't know, David, but...
Here's a good text from Jack Olbar. Yeah. Play the Friday 6 p.m. game in a country centre.
I made that same comment on Twitter on Friday night. And the reason I like it is because it's a game that is going to be attracting people. The only thing, maybe people in the country, and give us a call if you're in a regional area, you're a listener there, 1353 53. Sometimes they like to travel long distances to get to games, so can you do that on a Friday? But I'd have thought if you'd have played that game at Mudgee, if you'd have played that game at Dubbo, if you'd have played that game at Wagga or Tamworth or Armidale or Port Macquarie, you'd get 12,000 in the ground, and the atmosphere would be electric, and that electric atmosphere comes through on the television.
The facilities. Now, I've been to a lot of those towns, but not to the
footy grounds.
Footy grounds. Facilities are okay.
More than adequate.
Beautiful.
Enough. More than adequate. They play at Carrington Park at Bathurst. The Panthers have been going up there every year, and the dressing sheds there are limited, but more than adequate. We had a situation last night. Well, the game was a bit of a whitewash. The Broncos 54 points to nil against the Titans. I thought Jared Hayne probably had the worst game I've ever seen him play. But Joe Offahengawe let's call it a dangerous tackle, but in reality, it was a spear tackle. And he did it on Max King from the Gold Coast, and he was not dismissed. Why on earth he was allowed to stay on the field? They had a look at it. The video. So the referees looked at it. That's Henry Perinara and John Stone. The video referee, the senior review official, Jared Maxwell, looked at it. I will guarantee you that he will get a minimum of 4 weeks, Joe Offahengawe, for that tackle. And yet he was allowed to stay on the field. It didn't cost the Titans the game. The Titans were bad and the Broncos were good.
Yep.
But that is ridiculous.
Well, what are they seeing differently? And this is maybe where I think the problem is this sort of stuff each round festers over the weekend.
Yes, I agree with
really
that.
Really get an answer or a response. Why not straight after? And they've done it a few times, the bunker in the NRL. They've released a reason why. But they should be onto this straight away. And last night, we should have had sort of a reasoning as to why. And then this morning, we can sort of take both sides and go, right, well,
this is why they didn't.
This is why. But it just sort of...
It's a good point. It's a very good point. And that's the appointment of Jason King as Elite Competitions Manager, which was announced last week. This is the type of thing that he needs to get onto straight away, because we don't hear from Todd Greenberg on football. We don't hear from Brian Canavan, who's the head of football, on football. So Jason King comes into that role. We need to hear from Jason King ASAP. And if we don't hear from Jason King, we need to hear from Tony Archer.
Yep.
They're the people we need to hear from. We need to hear from you too, 1353 53. You want to send us an SMS? They're flying in already. 0419 767 272. That's 0419. SMS BSB, and of course, get us on the tweets as well, at Big Sports WEND. We're taking a break here on the Big Sports Weekend. After the break, in the wake of Justin Gatlin's win over Usain Bolt, we will exclusively reveal our talk topic for this morning. And if you give us the best contribution, we have got a couple of tickets, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta.
Some good movies coming out soon.
Good morning, Prakash. Oh, how would you like to see at the VMAX, Dunkirk?
Apparently it goes enormous.
Yeah, very good. Dunkirk for Christopher Nolan. Harry Styles is in it, and I know you're excited about that. Former One Direction singer. So that's what we want this morning. We will release that talk topic after the break. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Dave and Jimmy.
Sky Sports Radio takes you to the Central West on Monday for one of country New South Wales' biggest race days, Forbes Cup Day. From 10 Monday morning, get the tips from Mick Wallace, followed by all the Forbes racing action here on Sky Sports Radio.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer the opportunity to own and race the half-brother to champion three-year-old Who've You Got You. Our colt is by sensational sire Fastnet Rock from Temple of Peace, a stakes place winner of three races. Who've You Got You was a dual Group 1 winner of 10 races, including the Alumba Stakes, Caulfield Guineas, and won over $3.25 million. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the Fastnet Rock half to Who've You Got You. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Excuse me, mate. Does the next train stop at Wynyard?
Oh, yeah. It goes all the way to payday.
Because I just came up with the goods on a 10-leg multi. Stuff the train. We're getting a limo.
Cool, man. You're good to swing by Wynyard, yeah?
With the new Check and Collect feature on your Tab app, you can now check your ticket and collect the winnings anytime, anywhere. Gotta love a public display of betting affection. Tab. We love a bet. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
It's been a long year. You've worked hard. Now it's time to treat yourself in Hong Kong. Leaving December 5 with Ambassador Travel, you can be trackside and witness the very best of the equine world class during International Week. All the details are looked after, and it's 5-star the whole way. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday and Sha Tin on Sunday, with our Aussie speedsters hopefully out to conquer the world again in the sprint. There's tours galore, including Macau, or venture to Mission Hills for some golf. In between, grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Moy wins it back for Australia for an errant pass for Germany. And opens up nicely for Tommy Rockett. Can score a good goal. Rockett to the second attempt.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Dave Stanley, Jimmy Smith. It's 7:23. Jimmy, we're talking about all things sporting on the weekend. The NRL was getting around. We were talking about this 6 p.m. match. Text message says, smaller ground every day of the week. Pack them in. Enjoy the atmosphere and love the footy so much more.
That's Jane from Brisbane. It's a great point, Jane. And I tell you what, I've said it on this program at least twice, and I'll say it again. When the Bulldogs play at ANZ Stadium, I saw it last year, they played the Broncos at ANZ Stadium. There were 17,000 people there, and the atmosphere was not good.
Yep.
Let's not talk about the quality of the game. The atmosphere was not good. A few weeks later, they played the Melbourne Storm at Belmore Sports Ground. There were 16,000 people there. It was magical.
Yeah.
It came through the television. Now, I understand the economics associated with playing at Belmore as opposed to playing at ANZ Stadium. The quicker ANZ Stadium is made a purpose-built rectangular ground for rectangles, the sports, the better.
But in saying that, it's still designed to... It was designed for an Olympic Games, not for a round of the NRL. So
do you know how many former Olympic stadiums retain their current, their original form around the world? Do you know how many Olympic stadiums retain their original form around the world?
Well, I don't know how many.
One.
Right.
Do you know what it is?
So it's the one in Sydney.
No. Well, two then. It's the Melbourne Cricket Ground.
Right.
And why? Because the Indigenous game there is played on an oval. Everywhere else is because they're rectangular sports. In the US, it's NFL. It's soccer everywhere else on the planet. It's the rugby codes here in Australia.
But would the atmosphere still be good in an 80, 100,000 seat stadium if you're only getting 20% capacity?
That's a good point. You would make it smaller. Why wouldn't you? The biggest I would go at ANZ Stadium is 60,000. I know they'll say, oh, but we sell it out for this and we sell it out for that. Yeah, but that's not your bread and butter. Mm-hmm. You're going to make your money at your ANZ stadiums from your conventions and your concerts that you have with the roof. I'm telling you, that's where the cream is.
I don't know.
Well, we'll take. I tell you what, there's people pinning careers on this. Yes. Politicians pinning careers on this.
How big's Parramatta going to be?
30.
So that's
Parramatta Stadium is going to be a jewel out there. Absolute perfect. The Wanderers and the Eels, and I tell you what, when they're building ANZ Stadium and the newly configured ANZ Stadium, I bet you as many teams as you would like would want to play at Parramatta Stadium. Yeah. 30,000, purpose built, brilliant ground. Yeah. Every seat's a good view. That'll be a cracker.
What about? Is there any idea in maybe upgrading Campbelltown or? Or those sort of, instead of...
They haven't shown them the numbers they're going to get there in saying that the games that they get aren't the great draw cards. Yeah. You know, they'll play against the Warriors there and they'll play against the Titans there. It's not an easy question to answer, but we'll try and do it this morning, 13:53:53. What we also want to do is release our talk topic. Yes. Remember, two tickets to give away to the VMAX Theatres, and that is villains in sport and when they triumph. So Justin Gatlin, twice banned for performance-enhancing drugs, has beaten Usain Bolt in his final 100 metres. We're not saying Justin Gatlin's not clean right now. What we're saying is he's cast as the villain, and understandably so. Tell us when the villain had their day. David, do you have an example?
I've got a villain.
Yeah?
It's Sonny Bill Williams. Now, I'm not knocking the bloke as an athlete. Obviously, he's a fantastic athlete, and from all reports, he's one of probably the great blokes you'll meet. From the reports of people that have met him, I've never met him.
You don't go around to his place like you do, Tommy Berry?
Don't park out the front of SBWs. Huh. But just the way he treated Canterbury, I remember as a kid seeing that news report, leaving Kingsford Smith, you know, with the cameras. And then, obviously, then coming back, rubbing salt in the wound, playing for your mob, the Roosters, and producing the goods.
Yeah.
Then sort of giving them the flick and going back. And it's amazing how...
Giving them the flick. He's won two Rugby World Cups.
Well, I still think the way he treated Canterbury. It'd be interesting to see what Canterbury supporters think of whether the blood still boils or whether they've sort of gone, no,
it's
look.
Nearly a decade ago, you know.
I know.
2008.
Let's open old wounds.
Yeah, let's open up some old wounds. 13:53:53. Mine's Wally Lewis.
Yep.
He was the villain. He captained Australia in a test match at the SCG, and when he received the trophy, he was booed. I mean, they booed Justin Gatlin this morning in the Olympic Stadium in London, but they booed Wally Lewis when he was the Australian captain at the SCG, and he was always the villain. For Queensland, when they played New Zealand, he was always the villain because he was so damn good.
One thing I'll say about our two villains compared to Gatlin is that our two villains are the blokes that had the ability and we sort of didn't like them because they were that good. They could just go and do it. Whereas a bloke like Gatlin is doing some stuff to his body or has done stuff to his body that's against the rules. So maybe I've got to go back and think of a...
Yeah.
Maybe Lance Armstrong. That's the
there you go.
That's the villain.
That's the villain. There is the villain. He's the villain's villain, isn't he? That guy. And just remind me. I think you've probably done things to your body that you probably shouldn't have.
Like that.
Anyway, it's a morning program. It's a family program. Please. Yeah, exactly. Sunday morning. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Let's go to our callers. Why not start the show with Dougie? Hello, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Dave. How are you?
Hello, mate.
I got two things to say. Josh Addo-Carr post for Melbourne. I reckon he'd be good for the Origin match next year.
He'll go very close if his level of improvement continues, Doug.
And the villain I'm going to talk about is Jared Hayne.
Jared Hayne?
Yeah, when he went to America and then was playing with Parramatta and then wanted to leave football to go play gridiron.
Yeah. It's a little bit different to the Sonny Bill Williams stuff in that he didn't walk out in the middle of the night on a contract.
Yeah.
He was very open with Parramatta and said, look, this is the dream that I have. And say what you like about Jared Hayne. I don't think you could cast him as a villain in this regard.
He did say that he would be an eel for life. Remember, he said, Parramatta for life, and now he's up there at the Titans. Mind you, if I'm a Parramatta supporter, I don't want him after what I saw last night.
That's right.
He can stay up there. particularly mm-hmm. we've got, I reckon they're better without him. You'd want Bevan French at the moment instead of Jared.
Yeah, good on you, Dougie. That's a good call, mate. Josh Addo-Carr. I tell you what's fascinating, and that is the try scorers race in this NRL Premiership. Like, every time someone gets one, the other one will get one. Suliasi Vunivalu, Josh Addo-Carr, Jordan Rapana got a couple last night. James Roberts got one as well. It's going to be fascinating to see who finishes as the leading try scorer in 2017. Good call on Josh Addo-Carr, Dougie, and what a pickup for Melbourne. He was barely playing first grade for the West Tigers last year.
But that, again, another Craig Bellamy player who was sort of, you know, doing nothing, goes down to Melbourne and just goes to a different level.
Adrian's on the line. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, guys. I want to talk about Englishmen in our game. But just what you mentioned about Wally Lewis, something about Wally Lewis, he'll always remain the greatest Queensland Origin player over Cameron Smith. And it's not Cameron. And the reason being is that the New South Wales side that Wally faced, and Cameron can only face what's in front of him, will just absolutely slaughter the New South Wales side that have been chucked up against Cameron. That's why Wally dominated those New South Wales sides back then, who would have provided probably 12, 13 players in a New South Wales 17. So that's why he would always be regarded as the greatest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And just on the Englishman in the game, Elliot Gould, Whitehead and...
Elliot Gould, what a great actor.
There you go. Elliot Whitehead and Hodgson were just brilliant last night. And make me realise, look at the Englishman playing the game. James Graham a few years ago could have claimed that. Now he's probably the weakest in the competition. His form is terrible. And that try that him and Aidan Tolman let in, that was humiliating. And both of them should never play first grade again. That was embarrassing.
Okay, all right, Adrian. Look, this is... every week we say, right, let's give Adrian another go because we think we're going to get some new stuff. But what he does is he presents a talk topic. He said, I want to talk about Englishmen in the National Rugby League. And somehow it gets back to Aidan Tolman.
I want to ask him about Sonny Bill Williams.
Don't worry, we'll ask someone else.
But, I'd love to know. In fact, we might even try and get our producers just to go back through the logs. Mm. How many times Aidan Tolman has been mentioned by Adrian in the past 12 months?
You know, I see Aidan Tolman too. His young bloke plays down at the same footy club as my young blokes. And yep. You see him and I just shake my head and think, I hope you don't know about Adrian from Talkback Radio. But anyway, 13 53 53, the open line number. Bob's on the line. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Really well, mate.
You've proven you've got long memories of Sonny Bill Williams. I mean, if we're going to talk about people who aren't loyal or whatever, what about all the clubs to get rid of players who are under contract?
Yes.
I don't see too many consciences there.
Now, it works both ways, doesn't it, Bob? Yeah.
And Jared Hayne.
Yep.
There's another one. Yeah, he sells himself to whoever take him, and then he kind of goes walking out when he gets there.
But well, Bob.
On a more serious note.
Hang on, Bob. Yeah. We're all a bit like that, aren't we?
Yes.
Well, speak for yourself.
Oh, right. Yeah, fair enough.
Now, on packing the stadium, unfortunately, the economics are, we want to have a world-class stadium, so he's going to pay for it. But I say, let's drop the tickets to $5 a head.
Yes.
Let's open the doors every week and fill the place.
You know what,
because
Bob?
$5 a head, I think we would fill it.
I just wonder, I think cost of tickets is just one impediment to getting people there.
A totally different kettle of fish here, but going to Japan and seeing how they do with their sport was fascinating. One, you can buy your sporting tickets, and I'm talking about baseball in Japan, from your local 7-Eleven. They've got a machine in every 7-Eleven, and there's about 1,000 of them in every city.
Yep.
$20 was the highest price for the ticket. $20. You then could take your own food into the stadium as much as you wanted within it. And I mean,
how much food did you take in?
Just a fair bit. Don't worry about that. But I guess that's the thing. I guess that's the thing with maybe their culture and our culture is they weren't taking the proverbial. They just go with their one sandwich. You'd obviously get some bloke here that'd take 58 sandwiches. But you could also take your own liquor in. Now, I'm not saying let's start taking our own liquor in, but I'm just saying it seemed more attractive to go to a sporting event. And there's probably other parts of the world that are exactly the same. But I then went to that Allianz Stadium last Saturday night, and I took a photo of the prices. If you want to take, say, you and your two young blokes, it would be $100. And then if they said, let's get a hot dog, dag, and a chips.
Bucket of chips, yeah.
You're looking at 250, 300 for a night.
Yeah.
And are you really getting your $300 worth when you can maybe pay your $100 to Foxtel every month? Sit in your thing.
You can pay $50 to Foxtel.
Exactly.
And, get your
and if the kids are annoying, you can say, just please go to bed.
Yeah,
go
and, to bed. And you can walk to the fridge and get your beer out at $2
so
a stubby.
I'm big on that that cost.
All right, the cost is one thing. We'll keep taking your calls on it. We're trying to solve this problem. We're going to have to do it in 2.5 hours too. 1353 53 is the open line number. A break and back with more.
It's the New South Wales Racehorse Owners Association's flagship event.
Racing's Night of Champions 2017.
A night of glitz, glamour and fun.
And you're invited. Thursday, August 17 at the Royal Randwick Ballroom. Dinner, beverages and entertainment all included at $240 per person.
Be there when the winners are announced at the New South Wales Racing Industry's Night of Nights.
Book now at nswroa.com.au or call 9299 4299.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
It's international racing at its best.
Lady Aurelia down the centre in the white and green colours is going away at the end. Lady Aurelia and John Velasquez, oh, she's won by two or three in great style.
International racing at its very best.
7 days a week.
Live and exclusive on the Sky Racing Network.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. And for over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your NRL team or engagement and wedding rings, corporate gifts, all types of remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au.
Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
It's English and Phil Swift fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Gee, a lot of people are wanting to have their say around this talk topic. Morning, boys. Yeah. How about Jamie Lyon? Villain, he walked out of Para after the bust-up with Brian Smith. Goes on to be one of Manly's finest ever champions. Cheers. One bias, Manly man Al. Yeah, fair enough. That's a good point. Morning, boys. Jim Cassidy, he was disqualified. That was the jockey tapes. Mm-hmm. Then he came back and booted home Group 1 winners and more. Grant from Newey. Good morning, Jimmy and Dave. I've got a contender for today's subject. Producer Jeremy. With those ridiculous questions in the quiz. Talk about a villain coming out on top. Yeah, well, exactly. That's from EJ. EJ. Sony Music CDs for you, EJ. Sony Music CDs for you.
Well, I'm not going to bag Jeremy until the result of today's quiz. If the result goes my way and Ray's way, they'll be the best questions we've ever had.
Mm.
If they go I think personally last week was a bit of a stitch-up. I didn't really know the ways of the workings of the quiz. You threw me into it, and I didn't get my bloke to, you know, there was no real chance. I think it was...
You're sitting in that seat, you've got to take part.
Well, you didn't really tell me the process and how it was all going to work, and then lo and behold, you got the 3 points. So I think...
You listen every Sunday, right?
Well, I do, sometimes. Depends, obviously,
on
the schedule.
Sometimes.
Well, it depends if I'm stalking Tommy Berry or not.
That's a good point. Now, tell us about these races yesterday at Royal Randwick. I know we've got some replays to get through, and we are going to speak to Chris Lees and Corey Brown a little bit later on in the program.
Very good day of racing at Randwick. And to kick off with a replay here, the concluding stages of Race 5. Now, this is a horse. We know it's got ability, say it, but definitely a horse that's on the up and could very well feature in some of our spring staying races here in Sydney. One of Chris Waller's, the alarming thing though for punters, before the race, it was a huge drifter, but it won like it should have been $1.80.
around the turn. Ashley Marie getting swamped now. Get on the Grange, sustaining a long run with Sayed starting to track into it. Aubrey is still there. It's get on the Grange from Aubrey, but Sayed starting to claim the leaders now. They're well clear of the rest. Go Benny and four Carapet. Sayed gets the upper hand from get on the Grange. Has done plenty of work in the run, but away goes Sayed. It's starting to rip away. Here's a big win for Sayed. Coming down to the post to win it by five lengths to get on the Grange. Third goes to go Benny.
Third to go Benny, which is my tip on Friday. A little bit disappointed there. But Sayed, classy horse. So where do you think might... what's going to be...
Maybe.
All things equal, what's going to be a grand final for Sayed?
Well, maybe a Metropolitan.
Okay.
It'll get pretty good in at the weight. It'll be interesting to see what Chris... Well, it does. I guess that's the big thing, is it's with a master trainer, and now we know it can produce what it did yesterday, albeit, I mean, it's obviously going to race against harder quality, but it'll be very interesting. We'll move on, have a look at race number six. This was outstanding, and they were cheering in Manly yesterday when this horse produced at their local watering hole, the Stain, because Stain was brilliant and a beautiful ride by Andrew Adkins.
Further back to Hollywood Bound, Zinzanetti, three out, Gold Ambition deep. Further back on the inside, Dubai in style, from So Willie, Admiral Jello and Invincible Knight starting the runs from back in the field. Stain gets going up the rise with no weight on its back, and Stain heads off Olympic Academy and goes for home now. Zinzanetti trying to run on. Down the outside is Admiral Jello and Invincible Knight. Inside the 200, Stain is a couple in front. Invincible Knight down the outside with Gold Ambition, but Stain's clear, got them beaten Stain and draws clear to win from Admiral Jello second, just in front of Gold Ambition. Invincible Knight couldn't make up.
Oh, we don't get too carried away with racing this time of year, but what do you think, what moving forward for Stain?
Beautifully placed, Stain.
As P&P Stain invariably do.
Got out, got in under the minimum. Lovely ride by Adkins. He asked it. He probably went a little bit earlier than he wanted to go, but because of the lightweight, kicked away. Another horse for Triple Crown Syndications.
Yes.
Is on the rise. They're having a very good couple of weeks.
Chris Lees was prominent with horses in the Missile Stakes. Everyone thought Le Romain was the favourite and was the one that was going to be the chance, but it turned out to be the stablemate.
It's Jungle Edge. He enjoys to get his toe in. He gets that today. Ahead in front to Memes around the bend. Boss Lane on the inside of the Monstar. Deeper out, Le Romain. Invincible Gem looking to get onto the back of Le Romain, and then Harper's Choice into the straight. Jungle Edge leads from Memes. Boss Lane scraping paint. Le Romain gets going. The Monstar's trying to go with it. At the 250, Le Romain makes the move. The Monstar goes with it. Boss Lane the fence, and Invincible Gem's finding the line. It's Le Romain, the Monstar. Invincible Gem, they're back to for plenty, and the mare sweeps to the front. Invincible Gem and draws clear for an explosive win in the Missile Stakes. Le Romain a game second, the Monstar third.
Yeah, I copped the tip from for Invincible Gem on Friday.
Oh, thanks for
from the Guff. Do you think I followed it? No, I didn't.
You didn't bang it?
No, I didn't back it. Anyway, Le Romain didn't lose any friends though. Le Romain
with
three wide and probably lost a bit of condition there in the last 100 metres. But
100%. Look, this filly just keeps jumping, just going through the hoops. It'll be interesting to see what Chris Lee says. We're going to have him on the program to say what the plan is. I think maybe, not saying it's got under his guard, this filly, but I think it's one of those horses that he's obviously got a stable full of stars, but she's very tradesman-like, just keeps producing. And
on those tracks too that
probably
don't suit some horses. She doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
And lets down beautifully. Mm. We're going to move on here. We're going to have a look at race number eight. We'll roll the tape. This was another good win.
Launch Code just behind them on the fence. Then came Beau Taraj. Sanjay Vasey going inside Launch Code. Up the rise, it's Lying Kushon in front. Out by a length and a half. Launch Code's going up the fence. Tango Rain is battling away around Johnny Ruboy. Lying Kushon being tackled by Launch Code. Sanjay Vasey's getting a split, finishing fast. Sanjay Vasey going through the centre. Goes after Launch Code. Sanjay Vasey drifting out late but gets the money. Sanjay Vasey wore down Launch Code with Tango Rain third.
So the first of a double, final double there for Jason Collett, to Bjorn Baker chains, and $10 winner there for San Giovese.
Do you like San Giovese?
As in the wine?
Yeah.
No.
Italian table wine.
So look, I'm not saying I don't like it, I'll just say I don't drink it.
Very smooth it is.
Right.
It's Italian table wine, yeah. It's
the you wine sound like you're a bit of a connoisseur.
Anyway, good horse.
Hang on.
I look... They backed Launch Code for a stack. The horse I'd be following is out of that race, Tango Rain, was deep on the speed, and it could have folded up and run last, but it fought on well.
You strike me as someone who would be appreciative of Caskwine.
Even though
you could get some passion pop for $4 and really do a job on yourself, you strike me as that.
You ever played Goon of Fortune? On the old clothes, like they were the university days. What about this? We haven't heard from Adam Pengelly. There's no one confirming whether he's actually backed this horse. Yesterday, actually it was Friday in the Sydney Morning Herald, and also here on Sky Racing, he does his tips. He was there at Randwick yesterday for Sky Thoroughbred Central. He's tipped this horse called Nozomi.
Aussie Choice off the rails is in front from Electric Tribute, who's tracking it. Mr. Wonderful is trying to hang tough on the inner. Portman's there, then here to there. Municipalities weaving through the pack. Nozomi back on the inside. Divine Mr. Rati behind a wall of horses, followed by Patch Adams. Aussie Choice at the 250 with Nozomi. Portman is getting full galloping room on the outside now. Aussie Choice with Nozomi. Nozomi's kicking on the inside, here to there, late with Divine Mr. Rati, but it's Nozomi. Nozomi's won it narrowly from a photo. Divine Mr. Rati or Sin to Win.
And what was the price?
151 to 1. Now, if you don't believe me, head to my Twitter and also the Big Sports Weekend Twitter, because a photo was taken.
We don't actually do personal endorsements.
He actually tipped the exacta. So he's not only tipped the 150 to 1 shot top, he's also tipped the second horse, two runs second. The exacta in New South Wales paid 1200 and something for a $1 investment.
Yeah, and to think, we generally don't mention the Sydney Morning Herald or indeed any other Fairfax newspaper when Ray Thomas is in the chair too. He's just strictly a News Limited man. But you've broken protocol here this morning.
Well, Adam works for Sky, so that's what that's the line I was going.
And I'd imagine Ray will be back next week.
Tintin in America, winner of 5 Group 1 races, already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder.
Tintin in America.
Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians, Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study.
If you've not had cancer, other than non-melanoma skin cancer, researchers want to hear from you.
Guys, if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up today at abcstudy.com.au. It's easy to do and can be done from home in your own time.
So come on, help yourself, your family and future generations in the fight against cancer. abcstudy.com.au.
For the past 6 years, Slats and I have told you about the exotic delights of Hong Kong. Now here's your chance to sample the sights and sounds of one of the world's truly great weeks of racing with Ambassador Travel. And do it in five-star style. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday. And on Sunday, you're off to Sha Tin for 4 Group 1s in the climax of the Turf World Championships. In between, you can shop, cruise the harbour, head to Macau, play golf at Mission Hills, or just relax. Why not extend and take in mainland China? Call Ambassador Travel right now, 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Haddam is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, Le Romaine was the favourite for the Missile Stakes yesterday. In the end, it came from the same stable, but a different horse. Invincible Gem was very impressive, winning that at $6.50. The trainer is Chrissy Lees, and he's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Chris.
Morning, Jimmy.
Congratulations on the win. Well done. And the thing about, I know the Randwick Guineas run was a really good one from Invincible Gem, but she just keeps going through the grades.
Yeah, she's been a revelation in some ways, coming from a maiden last preparation to narrowly beaten in a round with Guineas, and you just never know with 3-hour fillies how they come back that first time round at 4, and it was pleasing to see her come back in similar fame.
Chris, have you had to I guess, revised plans now with what the way she performed yesterday? Are you going to take a different route, or do you think that there's maybe something that she can get that you didn't think she could get?
Dave, I'm not sure. Look, the original plan next run was to go to a mare's handicap, so it'll probably come down to what type of weight she gets.
Okay.
So we may have to tinker with the preparation a little. But her main aim will be the Golden Pendant in the, I think it's September 23, so she'll have a run or two more runs before then.
And it doesn't seem to worry her what the ground is. I mean, heavy eight yesterday might have been upgraded during the course of the meeting, was it? But the couple of trials on heavies and the Ramic Guineas was on a heavy 10 as well. So it seems like that type of going suits her a bit, Chris.
Yeah, she's pretty bomb-proof, Jimmy. She handles all types of ground. She was leading when she gets out over 1,400 to a mile, and she's come from back in the field yesterday over 1,200 metres. So she's very adaptable and certainly a pleasure to train because she's pretty bomb-proof.
Yeah. How did the big fella pull up? Obviously, was well back, but he wouldn't have lost any admirers yesterday, Lee Romaine.
No, I don't think so. He had a tough enough run, which was always a chance of happening from Ali. It looked on paper that there'd be a lot more tempo, but being a small field, they all found their positions relatively early, which just took a little bit of the speed out of the race, and he was just posted three deep, and he went up to win. He probably just died on his run a fraction, and also she was able to get a nice card off him, which probably won her the race. So he's pulled up really well, considering he had a relatively tough enough first up run. But he seems to have come back pretty well.
What's his grand final, mate? So will he go through Sydney and then possibly down to Melbourne?
No, he'll go to Melbourne now.
Okay.
Dave and run in the Bemsies in 4 weeks, 1,400 metre group one race. After that, we're still undecided. He's still a chance of getting the Everest or he possibly comes back for an Epsom. We'll see.
Yeah, so that'll be depending on the way Le Romaine performs. Currently a $26 chance in the Everest in the tab markets. How would that work? Let's say that goes through and wins in 4 weeks' time. How would that work then, Chris? You're just open to offers.
Yeah, exactly. There's been a few discussions with a couple of parties. So, and understandably, no one's really filling their slot up just yet.
Sure.
See what horses are in form. So he's available and we'll see what happens in the next few weeks.
Yeah, right.
You must be looking forward to sinking your teeth into the Sydney Spring. Have you got anything in the stable that's lurking that you sort of, you know, I'm trying to get a quid out of you here, Chris, on the program. But is there something that, obviously, we know how good the stable's been going, but is there just a horse that you think we should be following for the spring?
We've got a new horse to the stable, Art Lee. You'd probably know him.
Yes.
He's been off the scene for quite a while. Been quite happy with his two trials back, so he could show up somewhere, I think.
There you go. Put that in the black book, Jimmy.
All right, there we go.
And he's a beauty, too.
I'm not as long-term in my strategy around that. What about today at Musselbrook? Chris, you've got a few runners there. What's your best?
I've only got one race, one grassland.
It'll be winning.
She'll run well.
Oh, okay. So I'm looking at Waimea Bay was scratched. Okay. All right. Grasslands, $1.55. All right. That's a little bit short for everyone.
Well,
really.
You can multi it up. You can do something with it.
Oh, there you go.
You know?
Fantastic. Hey, Chris, congratulations. Well done
on
that yesterday. And really appreciate you joining us on a Sunday morning.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thank you.
There he is, Chrissy Lees, doing great things. Good start to the new premiership year as well for him. He had an outstanding year last year.
Absolute top bloke and one of Newcastle's best. Speaking of that neck of the woods, Musselbrook Racing today.
Yes.
We're going to go through the official scratchings here on Sky Sports Radio. Now, the rail is in a true position. They're fine day at Musselbrook, so there's no excuse. You can head up there and a good idea would be take the wife and kids. You take the kids to the races and drop the girls off at the wineries. Anyway, total scratchings 12. I'm trying to get people to the races, Jimmy.
Well, actually, you're getting people to the wineries, but anyway.
Track rating is a soft 5. No, you drop the girls at the winery. Now, scratchings. Race 1, take out Waimea Bay. Race 1, number 9, scratched. Race 2, clear, no scratchings. Race 3, take out number 6, Sheketer. And number 13, Seishin. So from race 3, scratch 6 and 13. From race 5, take out number 13, Rembikita, and also take out the 16, Casino Gift. So from race 5, take out numbers 13 and 16. Race 6, take out the 5, Radical Impact, the 9, Final Trick, and the 14, Lasso. So from race 6, take out numbers 5, 9 and 14. And race 7, there's 3 scratchings. Take out the 1, Prince Dylan, the 2, Invincible Bot, and the 18, Cream of Oz. So only the 12 scratchings today. We've also got some rider and alterations, but they're all up on racingaustralia.com.
And have you got a tip for the listeners today? We can do one after the break if you like.
No, well, look, Grasslands will be hard to beat. I mentioned last night Mashani on Formline Extra. Mashani Stealth, Rachel Murray rides in race 6 in the Bengala Cup.
Price?
$7, and they backed it last night. There was some good cash around for it. So race 6.
So hang on, you're saying you influence markets, is that what you're saying?
No, when I mentioned it, they backed it. No, I mentioned that they had backed it.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So race 6, number 10, Mashani Stealth. I'll be on it. So that could mean that you don't want to be on it.
1353 53 is the open line number. This is an SMS that's coming just before we get to callers. What a start to the day. I turn on the radio and the first thing I hear is Adrian whinging about the Bulldogs. Surely it can only get better. Craig from Tamworth. Well, no guarantees around that, Craig, but we can only hope. We can only hope. Let's go to the open line now. Peter is there. G'day, Peter.
Yeah, hello. How are you?
Really well, mate.
You were talking about chickens and free range and the eggs and stuff earlier.
Right.
And they were talking about how the eggs are very orange if they're free range.
Uh-huh. Were
and
we? Yep.
The shells are very hard.
Right.
But I'll give your listeners a tip, right?
Go ahead, Peter.
You got to give them shell grit.
Right.
Right? Because okay. The chickens have got no teeth, so they can't chew things up. So they've got to crawl in their guts.
Uh-huh.
They've got to crawl, right? And so with the shell grit, it helps grind up the wheat and the cracked corn and whatever else you feed them.
Uh-huh.
But if they're free range, they'll eat grass. But everything goes into the crawl.
Right.
And the shell grit will help, the calcium from the shell grit will help make stronger eggshells.
Right. Peter, just out of interest, what program do you think you have rung?
It's Sky.
Yeah. No, I can't remember.
Can I just say?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Peter. The Big Vets Breakfast.
Peter's spot on, my grandfather.
Here we go.
No, this
you're pitching up now for some sort of spot on gardening show.
I'm just saying that Pete's spot on because my grandfather had chickens and birds and the shell grit. That was one of my jobs. And didn't I cop some abuse when I spilled the sand in the car? Geez, had some lines. He said, Dave, if you had another brain, it'd be lonely. Just used to cover for
who used to say that?
My grandfather, because I'd spill the old shell grit in the car and all sorts of things. Anyway.
Nothing like pumping up his grandson. And so just to Craig from Tamworth, who said, surely it can only get better. As I said, no guarantees around that.
Can I just mention this? Hi, guys. What's happened to Ray Thomas? He's not on the radio anymore, and he's not tipping in the Telegraph. Is he still with us? Yes, he is, Rob from Seven Hills. He is with us. He's with a beautiful woman at the moment overseas, and he'll be back in this chair next Sunday to win the quiz and annoy Jimmy Smith.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'd reckon Ray Thomas would have had a thing or two to say about what grit should go in the chooks' feed too. He strikes me as that sort of bloke. He's a bit of an all-rounder, you know. When it comes to gardening, he gets things covered off as well.
No, what Ray would have done, which is the best thing about Ray, he would have gone after Pete and said, well, maybe you do it another way.
Yeah, well, he might have offered up an alternative.
He might have offered an alternative.
We're going to offer up an alternative too, an alternative Pete. Hello, Pete.
Good morning, country. How's it going, Jimmy, David?
Very well, mate. What do you got for us?
You were talking before about getting to the football at 6 o'clock. I mean, in Sydney, if you're working, you probably can't get to a 6 o'clock game. And if you're not working, you certainly can't afford to go to the football in Sydney.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point. Unless you work next door to the ground where the 6
that's
o'clock
right.
game's being played at, yeah.
And also, games like at Brookvale, I used to get down there quite a lot. And the crowd, they're all either go to the Leagues Club before the game or the Brookie Hotel. And they wait for just before the game starts, before they all pile in, because it's cheaper to drink nearby than it is to buy a drink at the game.
That's a very good point. And I hadn't contemplated that. But I remember back in the day when you'd play the under-21s against the Newcastle Knights, there'd be 12,000 people there when they opened the gate. You'd play in front of 12,000 people. It was amazing. And the crowd would build to 22,000. When the NRL side played. But that doesn't happen anymore.
No, well, I remember we used to do the same thing when I was a kid. We'd go and watch all three games. And I remember when last time I went to Brookvale on Sunday afternoon, I bought it like a sausage on a roll, and I wasn't allowed through the front gate until I'd swallowed the last mouthful.
Yeah, right.
At that point, you can't take anything worse. Even tiny scrap.
Yeah, no, taking food and your own alcohol into a venue then robs the venue of the value they get out of the customer. The per head spend that they have. So, hey, Pete, stay on the line. That was a really good call, mate. We'll give you out some Sony Music CDs.
But in saying that, is it necessary to charge, 300% profit on a pie that you could be selling for $3?
And they all lose money every year, the football club. So
how?
You work it out. Zorba, up next after the news. Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
President Donald Trump has been briefed at his New Jersey golf club on the search for three missing US Marines off the Queensland coast after their military heliplane crashed into the sea. The MV-22 Osprey, carrying 26 personnel, was involved in what was described as a mishap during a military exercise with Australian forces at Shoalwater Bay. The US Marine Corps said 23 personnel were rescued and the search and rescue mission continues off the coast for the missing three. Mr. Trump, on the first day of his planned 17-day working vacation at his Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey, had been briefed on the incident by his new chief of staff, John Kelly. The United Nations Security Council has unanimously approved additional sanctions against North Korea in response to its two intercontinental ballistic missile tests in July. The resolution aims to strip North Korea's export revenue by a third. Nick Harper has more from the UN in New York.
This draft resolution significantly strengthens sanctions against North Korea. There will now be a full ban on the export of coal, iron, iron ore, lead ore, and seafood, a move that the US and China believes will reduce the revenue that North Korea gets from exports by a third, taking $1 billion off the $3 billion it generates annually. There are also additional targeted sanctions against more individuals, imposing travel bans and asset freezes on people inside North Korea. The UN hopes this resolution will show a united front that the international community will no longer tolerate missile launches by Pyongyang. Nick Harper, Air News, New York.
A man and his three dogs have been lucky to escape injury after their home caught fire last night. The house in Petersham in Sydney's inner suburbs went up in flames around 8:30 p.m. Sonia Roberts from New South Wales Police Headquarters told Macquarie Radio the property was well alight when emergency services arrived.
The occupant, a 54-year-old man, made his way out of the house and was taken to Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. He's been treated for smoke inhalation. His three dogs were removed from the home by police as well as firefighters.
A man has died in suspicious circumstances on a Melbourne street despite emergency services trying to save his life. Paramedics worked on the patient in Ashley Street in West Footscray, but he died at the scene. The exact circumstances surrounding the death last night are unknown. However, homicide detectives are investigating. Britain is ready to pay up to 40 billion euros as part of a deal to leave the European Union, according to the Sunday Telegraph. Citing three unnamed government sources, the newspaper said Britain was only prepared to pay the sum as part of a wider deal that included a trade agreement with the EU. The British government ministry in charge of EU negotiations declined to comment on the report. Britain has previously said it will pay any outstanding liabilities, but has not given a figure. Also in news, police must decide tonight what to do with a fourth Sydney man accused of involvement in a terrorist plot to bomb an Etihad airliner destined for the Middle East. This is Air News. The Brisbane Broncos are revelling in another stunning win with Kounti Nikurima at halfback, a position that now seems permanent given his internal rival Ben Hunt's seamless transition to hooker. The unusual situation was brought about by the season-ending injury to regular hooker Andrew McCulloch last weekend. While a cruel blow to the Broncos, it has allowed Nikurima, Hunt and 5'8 Anthony Milford to form a lightning-fast combination that was far too slick for the Gold Coast last night. The 54-0 flogging, the biggest defeat in the Titans' history, was built on solid early work from Brisbane's forwards. Controversial American Justin Gatlin has upset Usain Bolt in the final of the men's 100 metres at the Athletics World Championships in London. Gatlin, who has served two doping bans, claimed the gold in 9.92 seconds. Fellow American Christian Coleman was second, Bolt was third in 9.95. Lions coach Johan Ackerman did not enjoy the farewell he was hoping for as his 14 men slipped to a 25-17 defeat in the Super Rugby final against the Crusaders, suggesting an early red card ruined what was shaping up to be an even contest. Flanker Kuaga Smith crashed into an airborne Crusaders fullback, David Havili, as he tried to pull out of a contest for a high ball and was sent off a minute before half-time at Ellis Park. Ackerman did not dispute the officials were right in terms of applying the rules, but says red cards for such incidents are wrong. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeBortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
The King Living winter sale ends today. Visit your nearest King Living showroom and save up to 50% off selected designs. Why buy ordinary furniture when you can come home to King Furniture? Hurry, sale ends today. If you're off to the airport, it's heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive right now as you approach the international terminal. The M5 East eastbound is also starting to build. Elsewhere, we've got a good flow north to the Central Coast on the M1 and no hassles on the Hume through Campbelltown. Sydney Boat Show is now on. See the best of boating plus the Dive Expo. It's back at Darling Harbour. Plan your visit or buy your ticket at sydneyboatshow.com.au. Hurry, it closes tomorrow. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
And the weather in Sydney town today, a maximum of 22, sunny winds north to northwesterly, 25 to 35 knots, but it's going to be an absolute ripper. And what's happening at the weather in Yagoona, Jimmy?
Yagoona, the current temperature is 11 degrees.
Where is Yagoona?
Yagoona's out west, it's on the old Hume Highway, isn't it, Yagoona? Yeah. Yeah. Greg from Yagoona who listens to the program. We had to be very nice to Greg because he worked for the ATO.
Okay.
Now he's retired, we don't have to be so nice. So invariably he's winning less prizes than he used to. So there you go. And yes, was that what were you asking? Yes, as well, yes. Yes, down in the southwest there. Rain developing at Yass. Oh. Maximum temperature today of 15 degrees.
Paranormal, the new album from Alice Cooper, featuring paranoid personality and genuine American girl. American girl.
If you're getting the latest big screen 4K TV, what's the most important thing?
Choose from the top brands. There's a huge range at Bing Lee.
What's the second most important?
Choose the right one for you. Talk to our TV experts at Bing Lee.
And what's the third most important?
Get it installed correctly.
And right now, get a free wall mount installation and delivery when you buy a Samsung, LG, Sony, Panasonic or Hisense 4K ultra high def TV 55 inches and over at Bing Lee.
So go to the home of TV, Bing Lee.
Sweet 16 for Winks.
It's a Winks blitz.
She's a champion. Winks
is coming. Be at Royal Randwick Saturday, August 19 at Might and Power Race Day.
To see Winks's highly anticipated return.
See the world's best turf horse live as she chases her 18th consecutive win. The day will see the whole family entertained as Royal Randwick hosts free kids activities, including a Peppa Pig stage show, a jumping castle, face painting, a petting zoo, and much more. For more information, visit the ATC.
Maguire spinning out of the tackle, making a clean break, gets the ball to Cronk. Cronk puts it back to Chambers. Chambers has got Gagai with him. Goes back inside. Gagai's going over. He gets his sixth try in his sixth origin.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Second hour up now. Peter Peters very shortly. Corey Brown will have a chat to as well. Phil Moss. And then we've got the ZNZ quiz. Poised delicately, I will say, at 15-14 in favour of the Ray Thomas Dave Stanley Syndicate. Yep.
And it'll be getting another point today.
So you've gone ahead of yourself again. But anyway, boys, I always thought this show had a lot in common with feeding the chooks. Cheers, Dave from Wattlegrove. Thank you, Dave.
And John from Moorbank. Good place to have a schooner at Yagoona, so I'll have to put that in the diary.
There you go. this comes from Master Monkey, following the caller of Peter earlier. Jimmy, my chooks won't lay. Should I mix laying mash, wheat and table scraps in equal parts? Also, is it a good time to prune roses? I haven't got any roses, but I was just wondering, Master Monkey. We feel like we're that sort of show. Boys, Peter needs to put his chooks with Adrian. He'd give anyone the grits after 5 minutes. Manly man, Al, that's not bad. That's not bad. Our topic for today, though, is villains. After Justin Gatlin beat Usain Bolt in his last 100-metre race, and Usain Bolt running third, in fact, Justin Gatlin has been banned twice for performance-enhancing drugs. You get this one. Morning, boys. The biggest villain has to be Floyd. I beat my wife, Mayweather. The best pound-for-pound boxer of all time, 49-0 record, multiple world champion, blah, blah, blah. He's had multiple charges for domestic violence, and it's clearly a... Okay. $100 million for one fight sounds good, though. So there you go. Floyd Mayweather can be your villain.
Very interesting to see if that bloke can get near him. It's going to
Conor McGregor.
It's only going to intensify these next couple of weeks.
I'll tell you what's interesting. They had the list of highest-earning sports people list a few years ago, and it was Floyd was on top with $100 million. He earned $100 million in prize money and zero in endorsements.
Yep. Yeah.
Not a cent in endorsements, whereas someone like Roger Federer is an endorsement machine.
100%.
Yeah. Speaking of endorsement machines, Peter's, he's pretty much that, isn't he? He certainly is at the Manly Club there. He's joining us as he does every Sunday. Hello, Zorb.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning, mate. First question, Joe Offerhand-Gowie, good young player, but how on earth was he not sent from the field last night?
I'm amazed, Jim. I find it difficult to equate a potential highly dangerous career-ending spear tackle, a player just gets put on report, and then for a piddling professional foul, a player will get sent to the sin bin. It doesn't equate. If you come to planet Earth from outer space and you didn't know the rules of the game, you would say we are crazy, and I think we need some instant makeover of what we're doing in our game.
The Cowboys. Well, just on that, we spoke, Peter, in regards before about the NRL coming out straight away and giving their opinion on why that decision was made. And it's just deafening because this happens every round. There's a big thing that happens officiating-wise and we don't get any clarity on it.
Referees should take it into their own hands now and let's see what happens then. If he's sent to the sin bin or sent off for that tackle, then let the people that are geared to handle that, the judiciary, decide whether the referee did the right thing or the wrong thing. But you just can't have that in the game. It's driving people away. It's scaring parents, and rightly so. And the league really have to take care of what are the major issues in the game, not the minor issues, and stop being reactive and be proactive.
You know what? It's a minimum of 4 weeks that Joe Offerhand-Gowie will get. I'll say that with my eyes closed. It's a minimum of 4 weeks. So just send him off. No one would argue with it.
No, and I'm just happy that that kid walked away from
absolutely
him because he could have been in a terrible situation right now.
So Dave made a very good point. When do we hear from the NRL about this? We don't hear from Todd Greenberg about it. We don't hear from Brian Canavan about it. Jason King has just been appointed. Are we going to hear from Jason King? You know him very well, Zorp.
Well, I know he'll be disgusted with this sort of thing, and depending on what powers he's got, then if I was him, I'd be hauling in the referee's boss. I'd have already hauled him in for a meeting this morning. That's just not good enough. And look, I don't like to put it all on Tony Archer, but look, there's a very experienced referee in Henry Perenara in that game, and he didn't act. Instead of blowing the whistle like he did all night in a lopsided game, I think that, you know, he should be looking at that sort of thing. And he's got plenty of officials there to help him.
Yeah.
Zorba, what about the Cowboys?
Said it last week.
They're in a bit of trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, I predicted it last week. They've got a shocking draw. They had to win in that match-up on Friday night against the Storm. They battled hard. The scoreline didn't tell the true story. I reckon that was their final shot. They gave it everything, but, you know, they've got coming up Penrith away, Sharks at home, Tigers away. You'd think they'd win that one, and then the Broncos at home. So they'll limp to 30, maybe. 30 may not be enough. It might come to for and against on 30, but it's who they haven't got now that worries me. There's no Thurston. We know that. There's no Matt Scott. We knew that. Now it looks like there's no Gavin Cooper. That's shattering for the Cowboys.
Yes.
He's the rock on which they build their pack. He's got a great link between on that edge. They'll do well to win more than one game in the last month.
You said that last week. You also said Eels for the top four, and you know, they look like, I know they're playing against the Bulldogs, who have been disappointing, but they look like they did it so comfortably on Thursday, Zorb.
Well, and they're covering all positions well. When they've got a player out, it doesn't seem to worry them. They're playing with a bit of stick in their side, and Arthur has said, the coach, that he wants them to continue doing that. They've got the draw from heaven. They play the Knights, although that's not as easy as we thought.
No.
Then they play the Titans, who are on their last legs. They play the Broncos away, who they've just beaten, and then they play the Rabbitohs at home. So they could finish fourth without a problem, be in the top four, and just be a real smoky.
The Warriors, are they a shambles?
Well, it really, when you look at it, they've won eight wins. They've got eight wins in 41 late-season games since 2012. So after Origin, when everyone gets back to full strength, they're shocking. They're under-20s, who were the pride and joy of the Holden Cup for so many years, won it more than any other club. They got lapped 70-4 yesterday by Newcastle, who are not even in the top four of the under-20s. There's something really wrong. We thought when Jim Doyle went there as CEO, when Stephen Carney went as coach, that we'd see something different. They've got one of the best on paper spines, although their star halfback is out in Johnson. But the pressure's got to be mounting on coach Steve Carney. Now, ask the question, is it significant to note that their real losing spell started when the assistant coach, Steve McNamara, returned to Super League with his coaching job at Catalans? It's a big coincidence.
He was well regarded at certainly the Sydney Roosters, and I think a lot of people were surprised that he lost the English job when Wayne Bennett came in. So yeah, that's a good point. I thought the Raiders last night. I know
that was Raiders in 2016.
They started slowly, but Hodgson out of dummy half. Yeah. Boyd, I thought Shannon Boyd played the best game I've ever seen him play.
Well, first time we've seen it this year.
Yeah.
The Raiders of 2016. Now, cast your mind back at the start of the year. Everybody tipped them to be in the top four, not make the eight. And they're struggling at the moment. But, I mean, the Sharks, they imploded. Their discipline was terrible.
Yes.
When they went one man up, you would have thought they would have grabbed hold of the game at 24-12 and down. And the extra man, they didn't get the ball.
No.
They gave away penalty after penalty. And three goals to Croker just put the game out of reach for them. They look frustrated. And they're going to get worse because will Gallen be suspended?
Will
he be stuck on 299 games?
Yes.
They didn't look too good last night.
The other one is Wade Graham. I thought that tackle looked needed something to be looked at as well.
They could be in real trouble, the Sharks. And we didn't mention them too much last week. We sort of thought that they'd hang in there and be in that top four. But they play the Broncos away, the Cowboys away, the Roosters at home. And then finish up with a night. So they've got a hard road ahead of them. They love a challenge. Well, they've got one, and we didn't think they'd get one.
Maloney back next week, which will obviously improve things for them. But the big question mark, you just to see them play on Friday night. It's going to be amazing this run home with just the try scorer's point of view. But I think we're all talking about semantics when we wonder about who's going to finish where, because the Storm are going to win the comp.
Well, I thought so.
No,
I thought so, like you and like most other people in the game. But it's one game you've got to beat them, and that's the grand final. As we saw last year, they got beaten when it mattered. I don't think there's a side in the competition that can out-muscle or out-wrestle the Storm. But I think I've seen a team, and they're going to have to be good because they've got a tough road in. But I think a bit of a blessing for the Broncos, I think they have no choice now but to go all-out attack. And I think now, with a new-look spine, Ben Hunt last night, and I know it was only against the Titans. It's like beating your mother-in-law in an arm wrestle. But he went on in the 23rd minute, and he came off in the 69th minute. 46 minutes of play, they scored 44 points.
Mm.
They just never stopped.
Mm.
And him at nine, Cody Nikorima, who's lightning fast out of the seven.
Yes.
Milford, strong and quick. Out of the six, Darius Boyd, as good as there are at fullback, it's a dynamite attack. It's more potent. The injury to McCulloch may have forced the winning formula for Wayne Bennett and the Broncos. They've got two big wingers, two potent centres, as good as there are. Look out. I reckon here comes the side to play the Storm in the grand final.
So
they play the Sharks, the Dragons and the Eels all at home. And they'll gear up and give Hunt more time. And come finals time, he'll be well settled into that booking role. And I think the Dragons have bought a gem in him. And who would have thought that he was playing for Ipswich a month ago?
Yeah. So Brisbane are currently $8 to win the premiership. $2.25 the Melbourne Storm, and they bookend the Roosters at $5. I'll tell you what, whoever finishes top two, we think Melbourne will finish one, but whoever gets that second spot's going to be vital as well.
That, Zorba, that 225, I know that is ridiculous, though. It is. For considering that you just said about Brisbane at $8, even Parramatta, if Parramatta can continue there, because Parramatta are playing like a team that they've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, I think, Dave, though, that Parramatta will try to out-muscle them.
Right.
And out wrestle them, and I don't think you can. I think you've got to beat them with some razzle dazzle, and I reckon old Wayne has realised that as well. And his sides normally have a dipsy doozy before the finals, and
yes.
I think they've had theirs. They've got a month to go now. They can go in with 5 wins. They got beaten by Parramatta last round. Don't forget, they can have 5 wins to go in and set themselves up. They look good, and they've got some strength off the bench that we didn't think they had at the start of the year.
Yeah.
If 8-1 now, I reckon go for Parra to be in the top four without a doubt. And the Broncos at $8, I think they'll come in the next couple of weeks.
All right, let's have a look at today's game for your Zappa. Big, big day down at Lotto Land for the Seagulls.
I was at training yesterday. The ground's in, well, it actually looked a picture, can you believe it?
So did you water it overnight?
No, it's going to be fast because we want it fast.
Right. Oh, there you go.
Dylan Walker plays his 100th game today, and his clash with Latrell Mitchell will be interesting. Last time they clashed, young Latrell went back home fishing for a while.
Yeah,
he's a terrific young player, but so is Walker. Walker's only 23 as well. He scored 52 tries in his 99 games. He needs to have a big game today for the Seagulls to win this one, but they won't get a better chance with the Roosters without Cordner, without Friend, and without Gordon. I can smell an upset. They trained really well yesterday, and they need to. They've had two shocking weeks, but
yeah,
this is a good time to make a run.
All right, so you're taking them at $2
at the start.
$1.50 is the start. They're $1.90.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Is that all? They know something. Okay, I'll go the $2, whatever it is.
All right.
Into the Panthers because right now, the coach of the West Tigers, Ivan Cleary, would be sitting down for breakfast with his son. that's weird, isn't it?
It's strange.
And later on today, they're going to clash in a game that's vital for the Panthers. Nathan Cleary, I remember when Matthew Ridge was kicking for Manly, every try was 6 points just about. He was so accurate. This kid was looking on. He lived right near Brookvale Oval and went to the games there. He would have seen Matthew Rich. And today, like every try, is 6 points for the Panthers. Gives them a fantastic advantage, and I think they'll cover the start of this one. Against the Tigers side, that's got nothing to lose, and they've got some great attacking players, and they can make life interesting. They ran Parramatta to the wire a couple of weeks ago, one point they got beaten by. So they'll be in the game for a long time. Mm. But I think the Panthers, and I think Cleary, weird to say it, but I've said it before and I'll repeat it again. He will guide young Tyron May around the field. He'll put him where he wants to put him. Where I don't think he puts the captain where he wants to put him when Matt Moylan plays. And Cleary, on the odd occasion that he's been given the reins to the side and runs the show, has been absolutely brilliant. And I think we'll see a terrific clash today with Cleary and May. Ironically, the young Aussie and a Kiwi with him, and Luke Brooks with Lola here, another young Aussie with a Kiwi with him. It'll be a great clash up there at Pepper Stadium, but I think the Panthers will cover it and move into the eight.
Yeah.
St. George Illawarra, they must be... he doesn't have any hair, but Mary McGregor, he must be stunned with that great escape from South Sydney. The second best we've seen this year. It's the year of the great escapes, isn't it?
There's been some. Cronulla have done a couple.
Penrith's the best
I've
seen over Canberra and Bathurst, but Gee, South Creek ground, roll back the clock.
Well, Penrith did it to the Warriors too. They were down 28-6 at half time or something like that.
Everyone does it to the Warriors.
that's true. Good on you, Zorba. I might see you down at Brookvale today. I look forward to that.
Yeah, well, you'll enjoy it, Jim. You and the rest of the people from the eastern suburbs enjoy God's country for just a fleeting moment. Once you cross the Spit Bridge, the air changes. You'll just love it, and you can go and see real beaches.
Oh, come, please, real beaches down south, mate. Come on. Thank you, Zorb. Bye, Zorba. Thank you, Zorb. I think there's only real beaches on the northern beaches. Come on, please. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We'll take your thoughts on anything that Zorba said, what he didn't say. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. After the break, we're going to have a chat with jockey Corey Brown.
Most say Hong Kong, we say Honkers. Now's your chance to experience a trip of a lifetime. Departing Tuesday, December 5 with Ambassador Travel. World-class racing, five-star luxury. I guarantee you a Wednesday night you'll never forget. That's racing under lights in Happy Valley. All the action unfolding from the luxury of a corporate box. Catch your breath, it's on again. The big one, the World Championship of Turf at Sharton on Sunday, December 10. Hopefully our best sprinters taking on the rest of the world. There's the shopping, extensions to Beijing or Shanghai, and golf at Mission Hills. Call Ambassador Travel right now. 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, halftime at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
Your business can secure some extra stock at a great price, but the banks say no.
You want it in time for a peak sales period, yet they still say no.
You need funds before the deal disappears, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house. And you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
ZenZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. Big duel coming up, no pun intended, between you and I, the ZenZ quiz.
Right.
For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, see Alan and the team at ZenZ Westfield Hurstville, or visit zenz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. They are the proud sponsors of the St. George Junior Referees.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Guys, sporting villain, got to be John McEnroe. No name on that one, but he was a villain. Ask about the players who played against him. They are not happy with JP McEnroe. It was all a show, you know. It was all to put them off their game because he was losing in games.
I wonder...
That whole blow-up.
I wonder... I'm trying to think of a jockey villain, but there's no... I'm sure there's one. There's one out there.
Why don't we ask our next guest? We didn't get him on the program last week. We missed him somehow, so we thought he was so disappointed. He said, I must win a race next week to get on the program. He did that with Invincible Gem. And now Corey Brown is on the line. G'day, Corey.
Good morning, boys. And let me say, there's plenty of villains out there amongst the jockeys room. Let me tell you.
Name names, Corey Brown.
No, I can't do that.
Okay, I'll tell you what we can say. From what I understand, and this is having worked with Malcolm Johnston for a long time, Peter Cook was a largely unpopular fellow on the racetracks.
Rider, good rider. Well, I didn't know him really, but very good rider.
Ah, very good rider. Yes. That says everything.
That's it.
Righto, what about this very good horse, Invincible Gem? Tell us about the feel you got from her, Corey, because she's, as we spoke to Chris a little bit earlier, she's just answering every challenge.
She's a gem, yeah. No, it's the first time I sat on her yesterday, but she's very, very, she's very tough. She's nothing to look at, really, but, you know, like you said, she's come on a long way since she first started. She obviously her first proper race, and she went from basically unraced to competing in a Group 1 race and just getting beat. So yesterday, like I said, I've never really been on her, but I'm telling you, she's a very, very tough horse, and you're going to be seeing a lot more of her.
How far do you think she can go? We spoke to Chris before, Corey, and he said that, you know, like he wasn't going to reassess plans. Golden Pendant, probably her grand final, but she's just so tradesman-like. She just turns up and just produces that last final furlong.
100%. Like yesterday, the race was run actually, you know, it wasn't really understood, although she was in a great position, three back, one off. They went pretty slow, and it looked like she was beaten basically for high, but they accelerated really, really quickly, and she was left a little bit flat-footed. But once she gathered up a momentum, she was always going to beat her. And how far she goes, I'm not sure. Like I said, it's the first time I've ever stood on her back, but she gave me a great feel, and like I said, she's going to have plenty more big wins in store.
How did you come about to get the ride, Corey? Because obviously after the second in the Randwick Guineas, that would have been a sought-after ride. How did it come about that Chris put you on?
I'm not really sure. Maybe because Hugh Bowman was having the weekend off. I'm not sure how it came about.
Yep.
But Chris did bring several weeks ago, and I'll be honest, I was worried about a horse that James Cummings trained, because I've been riding Spectra Sod. I was wondering whether he would collide with the horse. I obviously spoke to two trainers, and they said, no, they're definitely going different paths. But I really don't know how I come to get the ride, but more so I think that Huey was having the weekend off, and I'm in the right place at the right time.
I'm going to do a bit of probing there. Spectroscope was pretty good when we saw it last time out in its first campaign here in Australia, and you've obviously got an opinion of it.
I have. I've got a big opinion of him. He tried at Randwick a couple of weeks ago, and tried like a Group 1 horse, to be honest. His trial was very, very good. He tried actually on Tuesday. He's stepping out again on Tuesday to trial. So I've got an opinion of the horse. Obviously, he came over here with a big rap, and we know what he's capable of. But the way that he trialled, I think he's in for a very big spring, and James Cummings is going to have a lot of fun with.
There's hundreds of black books just getting into this.
Absolutely.
What a year it's been so far, 2017. You came back from Singapore, mate. You lobbed in Melbourne. You got Terra Vista home in the Lightning. You then got the Sydney Cup home the second time around with Polarisation. Doomben Cup Sense of Occasion. Impending, obviously, getting... It's been a huge year. Did you think you'd be launching straight back into Group 1 wins?
Mate, I'm just happy to get back to try and get a spot.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, I still really haven't found a spot. I've got me toe in, obviously, a heap of doors, but I can't get me full foot in there.
Mm.
But no, I couldn't imagine, basically, the year that I've had, or the half a year that I've had since back, I was just hoping that I could get winners. And I was actually, the Brisbane Carnival, I said to the new manager, Paul Webster, I said, I don't really want to go to Brisbane. I prefer to stay in Sydney to basically try and clock up the winners and get my name back out there. And you know, I ended up in Brisbane every weekend, and I think I rode a major winner every weekend that I was up there. So it's been very, really, really good. And I think, you know, obviously the supporters I've got, but I'm still trying to muscle me way back in. Let me tell you, there's a few good young kids out there, and they work hard. And I'm just trying at the moment.
How was speaking of trying? How was the Kokoda track? I believe you. When did you get back?
I got back about 7:30 on Friday night.
Oh wow,
jeez.
And how was it? Bit tougher than anticipated, from what I read, Corey.
It was a lot tougher than I anticipated. I went over there. I wouldn't say with the I just didn't think it was going to be anywhere near as hard as what it was. And I was pretty fit. I didn't really train for it, but I mean, I go to the personal trainer twice a week.
Yeah.
My horse back every other day. And, I really underestimated what we're over there for. The challenge, not only like mentally, but the physical challenge is really, really tough. our side, whether it's, you know, 1 hour up, 2 minutes across, and then like 2 hours down. So it was an absolute challenge. Like Kathy, Stephen, and Huey, at some stage we were all struggling.
Yeah.
I struggled with my knees, especially after the first day. The last 3 days, I was really struggling. But not just physically, but mentally, it was tough. But I'm glad I done it, and it's definitely something that people should put on their bucket list.
So does that make, obviously you're over there with Huey, he takes the weekend off, does that make you a bit tougher, you know? Have we always known that Huey's a bit soft?
Need you ask. Like, Huey's like spoon-fed at the moment, I'm telling you.
Oh dear.
Very good. Hey, now Corey, what was that? You were raising money for a charity. What was that charity? You might be able to give
a plug. We're actually raising money for two charities. We've done it for the National Doctors Trust.
Okay.
We've done it for. It's called Walking to Help. You can go to. But the other foundation was the Mark Hughes Foundation Research for Brain Cancer. So, two great causes. It was an absolute pleasure to do what we've done, and I was really really happy with. With what happened, I'm telling you, it was very, very tough, but two great causes, and just happy to be there.
Fantastic. Well done yesterday. Got under Huey's guard, got the ride on Invisible Gem, and paid dividends as well. And congratulations on that. And thanks very much for joining us here on a Sunday morning, Corey.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Roy. Thank you.
There is Corey Brown. So if you want to go to those websites, walkingtohelp.com.au is for the National Jockeys Trust, and for the Mark Hughes Foundation, markhughesfoundation.com.au. And I know a lot of those Newcastle Knights players who won the comp in 1997, they are doing it a little bit later on in this year to raise money for the Mark Hughes Foundation.
I'd love to give it a crack. I'd obviously have to get in better shape and whatnot, but I reckon Kokoda would be one of the great things to do, and be very confronting.
Enormously satisfying. For someone who, I've done a couple of those Oxfam 100-kilometre walks, that you do them in as quick a time as you possibly can. So we did it in about 32 hours, which was far too slow. One member of the team held us up. I won't name names, but they held us up. But it's enormously satisfying, and I'd love to do it myself. 1353, the open line number. Looking for villains, jockey villain. Don't know his name, but the one who caused interference so his girlfriend on the other horse would win. That was from Josh Cartwright. There you go.
Yep.
Josh Carter. Good nomination, Steve. In fact, Steve, we might send you out some CDs courtesy of Sony Music. That's a good nomination. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and after that, we'll have a chat with Phil Moss.
If you're getting the latest big screen 4K TV, what's the most important thing?
Choose from the top brands. There's a huge range at Bing Lee.
What's the second most important?
Choose the right one for you. Talk to our TV experts at Bing Lee.
And what's the third most important?
Get it installed correctly.
And right now, get a free wall mount installation and delivery when you buy a Samsung, LG, Sony, Panasonic or Hisense 4K Ultra High Def TV 55 inches and over at Bing Lee.
So go to the home of TV, Bing Lee.
It's international racing at its best.
Pakistan Star beating up the ground. Rapid Dragon in front from Pakistan Star. The puzzle now complete. Rapid Dragon takes the derby from Pakistan Star.
Love Asian racing?
We've got you covered with the best action from Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore and Korea across the Sky Racing Network.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Gallo's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Gallo's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including Gallo's family pies and world famous sausage rolls, a winner every time, Mum. Gallo's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, please ask for Gallo's by name. At Gallo's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man? The man from Mazda.
Yeah. That's the joint with the free coffee in that, isn't it?
Listen, you're there to buy cars, you're not here to eat their food. And
I've been eating there all week. It's been fantastic.
Very good. Penrith Mazda with 300 new cars in stock over 5 acres. Actually, 6 acres. And Penrith Mazda's BT50 Ute Centre has over 50 utes on display. Let them package a great deal for you. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in the Cafe Zoom, Say hello to Dave Stanley while you're there. See them at, you have to get your car service to get that. You can't just rock in off the street.
I've been taking Tupperware containers and everything.
You strike me as a guy with a lot of Tupperware in your life. I reckon you'd host parties. See the Mazda experts today. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. You're there, the family-owned and operated Mulgara Road at Penrith. MD1-8808.
Royce runs onto it. Foul. Advantage played. A wonderful advantage. Jamie McLaren. What a performance.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda. The BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgara Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. You know, David, I'm going to say, whenever Ray Thomas is in on this show, Phil Moss will come into the studio. Yeah. However, on the two times that you have hosted, he had... I'm not... And I hope I'm not, you know, making assumptions on things, but that's just struck me.
Has he changed since he's, you know, gotten the gig with the jacket that says PM and Sydney FC? And
oh, yeah.
Bit of rumour going around, too, that he's, you know, he's telling people, oh, Graham who, you know, he'll be... kicking up Ange who he'll be running the show there at Soccer Australia soon.
Morning, Phil.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Just having a chat about you in your absence.
Well, actually, it wasn't in my absence because I was here listening. It was a wonderful introduction. But I have to say, Dave, I'm in there Monday to Friday every morning when you're there.
So I know.
It can't be you.
I know.
Can't be.
You're making me paranoid, Mossy. Hey, can you believe that the Community Shield is tomorrow? Like, the EPL season is just around the corner. It's amazing how quickly it rolls around, Mossy.
It really does, Jimmy. And look, the Community Shield doesn't necessarily stir the juices on its own, but what it means is, as you just said, it's only a week till the EPL starts, and that's the marker in the sand. And it's an exciting time. You know, Chelsea obviously... ran away with it last season, Antonio Conte's first season in England, and a remarkable job given that he only joined Chelsea after the Euros. So he didn't have a lot of time to hit the ground running, but he did it very well. And he's come out and said ahead of this Community Shield against Arsenal that this will be, no doubt, his toughest season in professional coaching. And I guess that comes with a few things backing up what they did last season. And also, he thinks his squad is a little bit skinny going into the EPL and also the Champions League. So, no doubt behind the scenes, he's working pretty hard to bring in some more quality and some more players. So, yeah, watch this space with him. Arsenal, on the other hand, we all know about the Wenger out campaign last season. And it probably shut a few people up with the FA Cup win, but certainly needs a much improved showing in the Premier League this season to get those knockers off his back.
Yeah, 100%. Seems like it's every year they're saying Wenger out. What about Socceroos? Plenty in action overnight and some good performances as well.
Yeah, look, it's good news for the Socceroos, Dave. You know, we've got the qualifiers against Japan and Thailand coming up at the end of this month, so it's crucial that these guys are playing 90 minutes week in, week out and playing well. Jackson Irvine, Masluongo were both in action overnight. Jackson Irvine's Burton Albion lost 1-0 to Cardiff City at home, so not the result he was looking for, but he got 90 minutes. Masluongo was a key player for 90 minutes in QPR's 2-0 win over Reading. Aston Villa drew 1-1. John Terry made his debut, not a Socceroo, but Mile Yedmak, who is, was in the stands. We spoke about him on Friday. He's got this groin issue, so he's probably still a couple of weeks away from being back in the Villa squad. And once he does that, is it going to be too late for Ange Postecoglou to select him for our qualifiers, because he'll not have a lot of match fitness? He hasn't played since we beat Saudi Arabia, so a fair while between games for him. In League One, Aussie Callum Elder. Now, not a lot of people would have heard of him, but he's actually a Leicester City player. He's a Manly United junior, so he's from the Northern Beaches of Sydney. And he's been loaned out from by Leicester to Wigan, and they won 1-0 overnight against Milton Keynes, but Callum was red-carded.
Yeah.
What an introduction for him.
So he's like all the people from the northern beaches, a little bit rough around the edges and ill-disciplined, is he?
Doesn't mind getting stuck in, Jimmy. Let's leave it at that.
There you go. Now, Tommy Rogic, he's obviously still there at Celtic. They're going to play Champions League football this year, aren't they? And I know you wanted him to go to a big club, but does that satisfy you, given the fact he will be exposed to those big matches?
Well, they're through to the qualifier for the Champions League, so they've still got to get through that. But certainly that would, that would satisfy among the most important people, Ange Postecoglou, if Tommy is playing Champions League. But he's come off the bench in the 75th minute last night as Celtic put hearts to the sword. You like that, Jimmy? Hearts to the sword?
Yeah, that was good.
4-1 at Celtic Park in front of 60,000. But, yeah, look, it's been interesting, actually, because Tommy, when he came back from Socceroo camp, he scored a couple of goals in the home and away legs of the Champions League qualifying rounds to get through the playoff. But since then, he's been on the bench. So I'm not sure if he's carrying something or just a little dip in form. Time will tell, but at least he's getting game time. But it's important that he starts and plays 90 minutes regularly for us.
Mossy, it was unbelievable a couple of days ago.
Brilliant.
The performance of our girls, the Matildas, against Brazil. Brazil who? surely the World Cup, Women's World Cup, comes to Australia now on the back of that.
Oh,
surely.
Well, I think it's fair to say that there's a much better chance the Matildas winning the World Cup before the Socceroos do, given their performances of late. It's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's captured the imagination of the nation, really. And Alan Stajic, he's not far off getting the keys to the city. He's done a wonderful job with these Matildas. Lisa Devana broke the all-time Matildas goal-scoring record set by Katie Gill. That was 41 goals. She's now on 42, Devana. She's 32.
Wow.
She's still got the 2018 Asian Cup, 2009 World Cup, and the 2020 Olympics to come, you would think, if she can stay fit. But, a wonderful story, winning the Tournament of Nations. They beat USA, they beat Japan, and they smashed Brazil. And you want to say uncharted territory for the Matildas, but they've been building towards this.
Yeah.
They made the quarterfinals of the last Olympics. They won the last Asian Cup. So, this is a team that's been touted, really, over the weekend as the most successful Australian sporting team at the moment. So,
yeah.
It's a wonderful reward for those girls.
What about some A-League news? Thomas Broich, he's got into the coaching caper.
Looks like it, Jimmy. Yep. So watch for his hair to go grey very, very quickly. But he's got an incredible brain. And it looks like, he has signed with Brisbane City up there in Queensland. And they're an A-League expansion bid. So they're trying to get into the next expansion of the A-League. And John Cosmina is the head coach up there for their NPL team. So I can honestly tell you, having been coached by Cosmina, knowing him well through my work at Fox with him over many years, he's a great mentor, and he will take Thomas under his wing and teach him all the highs and lows of coaching. But to be able to pick Thomas's brain, he's a very articulate guy, had a wonderful playing career, obviously, and the players at that club are going to learn a hell of a lot, albeit from a rookie coach, but he thinks the game very, very clearly.
Two very different people. Thomas, quiet, reserved. Cozzy, up and about, plenty of passion. No, that could work.
You need the balance, don't you, Dave?
Yes,
it's like
that's
you
true.
And Jimmy in the studio.
Jimmy, don't worry.
What do you provide to Graham Arnold, just out of interest, if we're looking at the yin and the yang here?
Absolutely zero.
Right. Right. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, come on.
Don't sell yourself short, Mossy.
It's all about balance and having the right chemistry in any successful working environment.
Right, that's something you and I should work on, David, now that we've been told what it takes to succeed. Good on you, Mossy. Have a great day, mate. We'll speak next week.
See you, mate.
Been a pleasure, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
There he is, Phil Moss, with all the latest from the world of football. 13-53-53 is the open line number. Just on that Community Shield match, tab.com.au. 3-10 Arsenal, 3-40 the draw, 2-20 for Chelsea to get the money for that one. So there you go. That's something to look forward to. Boys, old mate Miracle Mao, he was a villain in the stewards room in the early days. More suspensions than the Anzac Bridge. That's not
like
bad.
That.
Manly Man Al.
He's a bit of a pest. I tell you who he's a bit of a pest.
Who, Manly Man Al or
no.
Miracle Mao?
Miracle. And
56 suspensions, by the way.
Miracle 56. Would agree to this himself. He's a horrendous pest to Gary Harley. One of our form experts. When Gary's trying to talk or do his tips, Miracle will be just chiming in off camera, giving him a bit of stick, and it's brilliant to watch. I wish we could have a Miracle Mal cam. You just press the red button on Sky Barrett.
Follow Mal. I'll tell you what, I've done some gigs with him, and he's fantastic. He is absolutely outstanding. Does a great routine. So if you're thinking about getting him involved in a fundraiser or anything, he's a good man for that. 1353 53, the open line number. A break. Give us a call if you'd like to be a part of the quiz. It's time for the ZNZ quiz. Just a score update. David/Raymond, 15. And I'm on 14. So call now if you want to be a part of the quiz. 1353 53.
If you love your harness racing, you can rely on Sky Sports Radio. Tuesdays on the Pace brings you all the latest news, interviews and tips. Listen live at 10:30 Tuesday mornings or download the On the Pace podcast from skysportsradio.com.au.
You need more cash flow for your business, but the bank says no.
You want to use it to attract new customers, but the banks still say no.
You've got a great track record and a strong credit score, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
It's international racing at its best.
Lady Aurelia down the centre in the white and green colours. She's going away at the end. Lady Aurelia and John Velasquez. Oh, she's won by 2 or 3 in great style.
International racing at its very best.
7 days a week.
Live and exclusive on the Sky Racing Network.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yes, welcome back to the program. ZNZ quiz coming up very shortly. Before we get to that, let's get a caller. We've got a nomination for our talk topic of today. Of course, looking for the villains of sport after. Justin Gatlin defeated Usain Bolt in his last 100 metres event. That was in the World Champs. And it just run before the program. Dougie's on the line. G'day, Doug.
Good morning. We're talking about villain jockeys.
Yes.
Mal Shoemaker got 10 years for pulling the jockey's leg.
That's right. He did.
Did he actually come back to racing after that?
Yes.
He did. And he was outed for 10 years.
He was outed for 10 years and then he come back couple of years and either retired then.
Yeah, right. That's incredible. Good nomination, Doug.
Okay.
Do you listen to music?
Yes.
Well, we're going to send you out some CDs courtesy of Sony Music, Doug.
Good, thank you.
No problem. Our pleasure. You stay on the line. There we go. Dougie, it's a good call. All right, now let's go to this quiz, David. I'm going to be player one. Right, okay, here we go. Player one. And playing for themselves, but also if I could get a point, that'd be nice too, is Matt. G'day, Matt.
Hey, boys.
Where are you from?
Wagga.
Wagga Wagga.
Yeah, mate.
Something.
Fair enough. Oh, Cootamundra is where I grew up.
Close enough.
Mate, I tell you what, we used to hate Wagga.
Yeah, Cooter's not too
You're
black,
on the same team
either.
With the bloke. You know
what I mean? I know. And I want you to win, Matt, but we used to hate Wagga.
Oh, good morning, Matt. Hey. I don't hate Wagga. Go
so,
Wagga.
Hey, Dave. I'm a good chance might jump ship by the sounds of this.
Yeah,
we'll find out where Dave's from. I probably hate where he's from, the next caller, too. Hang on. Righto, Matt, here we go. Let's go. Question one. Who scored the first try in Thursday night's Eels v Bulldogs NRL match? Was it Daniel Alvaro, Bevan French, or Semi Rad Radra?
Alvaro.
Oh, nice. Well done. Question two. Who ran for the most metres for the Eels in that same game? Was it Kurosomi Alva'a, Nathan Brown, or Kenny Edwards?
Well, Brown got injured, so it would have to be Edwards, I would think.
Oh, Brown was the one. Nathan Brown.
Even though he went off.
He did enough in the time, apparently. But he came back on.
Yeah, true.
He came back on. I'll get a look at those stats, because sometimes you just got to check these things with producer Jeremy sometimes. You just
have a spell, Jimbo. It's wrong. Move on.
No, all right, we'll move on. But let's just,
sorry asterisk. Matt, but I mean, fair dinkum.
All right, Matt, here we go. Question three. For which producer Jeremy has been described as a villain earlier this morning. Which country will host next year's Men's World Lacrosse Championship? Is it England, France, or Spain?
That's a stitch up.
England.
Oh, I like it, Matt. I don't like Wagga, but I like that answer.
It's in Manchester, isn't it?
Oh, you're kidding.
Stop it.
Apparently it is. How do you know that, Matt?
Mate, I'm all over it.
He's a freak.
can't disclose that information.
Nah, fair enough. Sounds like a plan. But anyway, let's move forward.
Player two. Now, yeah. David's on the line. David, representing David. This is outstanding. How are you, mate?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Very good, mate. Where are you from?
Downtown St Ives.
Oh, good part of the world, is it? You like that, Jimmy? Do you like anywhere?
Carringbar?
Please.
South? You're the schmuck.
All right. Here we go, David. We're going to get the points here. Question number one. Who made the most tackles in Thursday night's Eels v Bulldogs NRL match? Was it Aidan Tolman, Adrian's mate, Joshua Jackson, or Cameron King?
You'll go Josh Jackson.
Cameron King, mate.
Yeah.
All right, so you need this next one to get to head to the tiebreak, possibly. Question two. Who missed the most tackles for the Bulldogs in that same game? Was it Chase Stanley, James Graham, or Moses Mbai?
I'll go Stanley.
No, it was James Graham.
You want to stop the fight? Save the question.
Can we give him a crack at the question? If Jeremy uses this... Well, David, I just want to see if you get this. Which country will host next March's Central American and Caribbean Wrestling Championships? Is it Cuba, Costa Rica, or Colombia?
Costa Rica.
Cuba.
Nah.
Mate, I'm sorry about that.
Nah.
Matty from Cuba. Water gets it. So what is it, 15-all now?
15-all, yeah. Bad luck, Dave. Let's go back to Matty. Hey, Matty.
Hey, boys.
Well done, mate. Who's your team?
The Queenslanders.
He's getting better.
The Maroons.
What about NRL club? Who do you support?
The Roosters.
Oh, hang on. Hang on. Matty, well, come on down. Now, congratulations on winning the watch. Well done.
Who is your favourite Roosters player of all time, Matty?
Of all time? Matt Singh.
Yes.
Matt Singh. What a great player Matt Singh was. Probably underappreciated when he was playing.
He's my stepdad's cousin.
Oh, there you go. Beautiful. Family connection as well.
Yeah, and he's just a bit of... his brother had a heart attack last week and had to have triple bypass surgery. So, yeah.
Oh, is he?
Matty and his family.
Oh, that's, well said.
On his 50th birthday, believe it or not.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
So he had surgery the other day, but, yeah, all going well, apparently.
Oh, that's good to hear. Good to hear. Well, Matt, you stay on the line, mate. I don't know that they do New South Wales or Queensland watches at
they
7.
They do, actually.
They do. What, did you think you were just a certainty to win this?
He's involved.
Well, I saw him a while ago. A few years ago, they made the Queensland one. So, surely, with the winning record, we got to keep making them.
Are you from Queensland?
I am born and bred in Blackwater, Dave Taylor and PJ Mars country.
Oh, that's near Emerald, isn't it?
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah. Like Cootamundra to Wagga.
Everywhere's close enough.
Listen, Matt, get off, seriously. It's like we've done a feature interview with Matt.
He won you the point. You should be ready.
No, you're right. Well done, Matty. Stay on the line. We'll send you out a Queensland watch, courtesy of ZNZ.
Got a text here. Our talk topic's been... Villains of the game after Gatlin produced the win against Bolt this morning. What about this? This one's from Nick from Newcastle. Villain Mitchell Moses plays like an absolute bastard for Tigers. Mind you, he didn't have much in front of him helping him play good. But anyway, so he can get the release from his contract, goes to Parramatta and plays like he should be swabbed. He is, I said during the week...
That's Nick from Newcastle.
Nick from Newcastle, that he was a potential buy of the year. If Parramatta can go into the finals, they're just playing... He's steering those blokes around, Jimmy. I know you didn't agree with me and you said someone else.
I said three other people.
But why?
Paul Vaughan, Luke Keary.
But wouldn't you say that what Moses has done, considering what he was doing at Wests, and now just the way he's directing those blokes around the park.
Forget the directing around the park. It's his level of brilliance, too. He's got the brilliant in him.
Kicking game.
You know, well, the kicking game on Thursday night was superb. The break that he made to set up the try was superb. He's throwing... try assists left, right and centre. But the biggest thing about Mitchell Moses is that he missed one tackle on the week before, and I didn't have a look and see how many tackles he missed. What I will do is check how many metres Nathan Brown ran for. Not that it matters now. We've had a win, so no problem.